The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We're now up to the very last shiur in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We are doing the laws of Shvius, that is, the laws of Shemitah. It's at the very end of the Sefer, and these halachos pertain specifically to agriculture in the land of Israel. Nevertheless, it has become customary that people in Chutz Laretz learn these halachos, they make sure they know these halachos, because Be'ezer Hashem, in the future, there will be a kibbutz Goliath and everyone will come to Eretz Israel. There is a dispute among the poskim whether the laws of not working the land during the year of Shemitah are min haTorah today or they midrabanan. Either way, the halacha is binding upon any land which is considered part of Eretz Israel that is forbidden to do any agricultural work there. So the Kitzur tells us, Aleph, kol avodos hasodem, any type of agricultural work, hatsemach v'hapri, whether it's involved in things that grow or in the fruits, asuros b'shvias, they are forbidden to do in the seventh year of Shemitah. Umalachos hanasos lemenia may have said. However, those labors which are done in order to prevent a loss, yesh mehem shehutru, kigon hashka, some of them were permitted, such as watering the field, the trees, etc. Ulam yesh bezeh hagbalos shanos. However, there are a number of different limitations in this. The prohibition of doing agricultural work in Eretz Yisrael during the year of Shemitah applies to all Jews. What this means is, it is not just is it also to do work that pertains to the field during the year of Shemitah, it would even be forbidden to assist in any manner another Jew who is likely to do work. If for nothing else, this would be a violation of Lifnei Iver Losite Mechshol, you're causing him to stumble. And that you are Bimachzik Yidei Ovri Avera, you're supporting violations of Halacha. So consequently, it would be also to sell any type of farming equipment, seeds, anything that relates to gardening work, to someone who is not Shemitah observant. However, if it is the type of kelim that also have a permissible use, then it would be mutter to sell or to lend it to them. Or, if there's reason to believe it is intended to be used after the year of Shemitah is up, once again, it would be mutter to provide him with this type of equipment. Now, the poskim say that before Shemitah, it is usher to lend or to rent him any type of equipment, but to sell it to him would be mutter. Selling is only usher once Shemitah begins. Halacha beis peula sheyesh ba mishum hashbachas asadem, any activity which is improving the field, o hatzemach, or that which is growing, who osa osa lematra acheres, and he's doing it for some other purpose, kigon hakoris anfe ilam mishum shetzarach leitzim. For example, someone who is cutting off branches of a tree because he needs them for wood, v'ha ilan mishtabeach ayidei zeh, but the tree is benefiting from this, yishal achacham, he should ask a Rav about whether or not it is permitted to do this during the year of Shemitah. Halacha Gimel Bizriya, when it comes to planting Ushar Malachos or any other work that is related to growing things, Ba'atzitzim, that is done in flower pots, Oh, hotsa'asa me'abayas lemakam she'ena mekara, or to remove them from inside the house to a place that there's no roof, so that they might be considered being outside of the house. Yeshnam chelukei dinim rabim. There's a lot of distinctions in halacha as to what is mutter and what is aser. So the Kitzur is not telling us what it is. He says, be aware that the halacha is not simple. Halacha Dalid. Tosefes Shvius, Eino Noheges Bismanazeh. The extra part of Shemitah is not practiced today. What this is referring to is like this. We know that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing, that we have to observe an extra part of Shemitah, which means that we don't work the ground for the purpose of Shemitah already 30 days before Shemitah begins. However, today, that there's no Beis HaMikdash, we do not practice Tosefes Shvius. Elosh Netiyah, V'yesh Omim Avzriya, but planting Asura Zman Misuyam Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Shashvius is still forbidden a certain amount of time before the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. L'das HaChazon Yish, Ein Asur Elo Netiyas Eitz Maicho, Mem Dalad Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. According to the Chazon Ish, this means that one cannot plant specifically a fruit tree 44 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. In other words, starting from the 17th day of the month of Av, it would be forbidden to plant a fruit tree because for purposes of our law, it's considered the same year as that which was planted during Shemitah. So Chazal were afraid that people would get confused, and they're going to end up planting it during Shemitah itself. So consequently, they decreed that no one is allowed to plant fruit trees already from the 17th of Av before Shemitah begins. Halacha Hay, Katsir O Katif, harvesting or fruit picking, v'chein avodas pri nosafas, as well as other activities that relate to fruit, shenesro, that they forbade, hein rakisha kotzer kol sodeo, kiderach sheregilim hakotzer masos, are only forbidden when one harvests the entire field, like those who are accustomed to do during the harvest time. Ulam, however, mutar ma'at ma'at lutzarcha, it is permitted to cut down a little bit of grain or fruit at a time for his personal needs, ba'ofen u'bishiur ha'mevar b'poskim, in the manner and in the prescribed amount that is discussed in the poskim. So we don't want someone to be doing a mass harvesting during Shemitah, but to cut down a little bit of grain or fruit, that is no problem. We are up to Halacha Vav, and this requires a little bit of an introduction. The Torah requires us that any field that is growing in Eretz Yisrael must be declared Hefker for the year of Shemitah. This means that the original owner doesn't retain the exclusive rights to the field, and he has to allow anyone to come there and take whatever they want from his fruits. In fact, in a time when Shemitah is practiced min haTorah, anyone who closes off his field or locks the gate of his backyard in order to prevent people from taking fruit or from grain, he'd be in violation of a mitzvah essay. The Sefer HaChinuch explains that the root of this mitzvah is that we should establish within our heart and we should integrate the concept of the fact that Hashem created the world, and that the 7 years in the Shemitah cycle correspond to the 7 years of the creation, meaning 6 days of working and the seventh day of resting. Hashem required people who have a field in Eretz Yisrael to be mafker it, in order that they should remember that all of the fruit, all of the produce that comes from the land every year is not coming from his own efforts, but rather is coming from Hashem's bounty. Moreover, the Chinuch says that this will instill a person with increased bitachon of Hashem, rather than relying on his own sense of accomplishment. In the Mara Nevuchim, the Rambam explains that included in the mitzvah of Shemitah is the concept of having pity on those who don't have their own fields, and by sharing with whatever you have with them, it's an opportunity for us to instill within ourselves the sense of responsibility that we have to others. So now let's see the words of the Kitzer. He says, Otzer lishmar al peiro sedeo. It is forbidden to guard over the fruits of one's field. Shahare hefkerhem, because they are hefker, they're open and available for everyone. Ach, however, im choshesh mipnei goyim, if he's concerned that non-Jews will also come and take from the fruit, balechayim, or from animals, o mipnei hezek u'ilanos, or from damage to the trees, ukedomer, yishal chacham, he should consult with a talmud chacham to determine what he's allowed to do. Now it's interesting, there's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach who points out that when you make something hefker, anyone is allowed to take it, even non-Jews. So consequently, if someone who's not Jewish helps himself to the fruit, it is forbidden for the owner, or for anyone else for that matter, to take it away from the non-Jew. Halacha Zayin. Peros Shvius Kidoshim Heim Bikdusha Shvius. Fruits of Shemitah have sanctity, and therefore they have to be treated with Kedushas Shvius. Now, this requires a little bit of understanding. The Torah says that fruits that grow in the Shemitah year have Kedusha to them. Now, what does it mean in the Shemitah year? And what does it mean that they grew then? So the halacha is as follows. Any fruit that ripened during Shemitah itself, meaning from the first of Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah, up until the last day of Elul in the Shemitah year, they have Kedusha to it. Even if they were picked off the tree after Shemitah, they still have Kedusha to it. Technically, it is possible to have items with Kedusha Shemitah long after the Shemitah year is over. Now, let's say something was planted before the Shemitah year, and it began to grow before the Shemitah year, but the fruit ripened during Shemitah, so then it has Kedusha. On the other hand, if the fruit ripened before Rosh Hashanah, and subsequently the fruit completed its development, and it was picked during Shemitah, it still does not have Kedusha. And by the way, such fruit would be obligated in Trumas and Maaseres, because the rule is that Trumas and Maaseres are exempt from something which is a Shemitah fruit. If it did not grow, if it's not qualified as a Shemitah fruit, meaning it did not ripen during the Shemitah year, so it has no Kedusha to it, and it would be Chayiv and Trumas and Maaseres. Now, in Israel, most citrus fruit ripen at the end of the winter, and then they continue to grow into the following autumn. Therefore, until Tu B'Shvat of a Shemitah year, we would not have to be concerned about fruit that they might be Shemitah fruit, because until that time, any fruit that's on the tree, or any fruit that we find in the market, we can certainly assume came from before Shemitah. This is what the Chazon Ish writes. Now, it's important to point out that the Kedusha that's given to Shemitah fruit only apply to fruit that grew in Eretz Yisrael, which means that if you have an orange which grew in Yafo, and subsequently it was taken to Chutz La'aretz and sold as a Jaffa orange. If it grew during the Shemitah year, even though it's in Chutz La'aretz, it still has to be treated with Kedushas Shvius. On the other hand, fruits that grew in Chutz La'aretz, even though they grew during the Shemitah year, and then they were exported to Israel, they do not have any Kedusha to it at all. In general, in these matters, we have to, unless you know otherwise, unless there's a way of finding out otherwise, when you buy something in the market, you could follow the majority of fruit. So, for example, if one is in Israel, they go to a market, and they purchase a fruit, which most of that type of fruit comes from Chutz La'aretz, then they can assume that it does not have Kedusha Shvius. If most of that fruit comes from Eretz Yisrael, then they should assume that it does have Kedusha to it. Now, of course, if there's any way of finding out more detail about the origin of the fruit, one should certainly do so. For example, if you can look at the box and see where it comes from, or you can investigate through the distributor. But in circumstances where this is not viable, the Chaznish says that we follow the majority. Now, fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael, but they are not grown by Jews, what would be their status? So this is a subject of a fascinating dispute that occurred between Rabbi Yosef Kairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mabit. According to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Beis Yosef, only fruit that were grown by Jews in Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha to it, but those that were grown by non-Jews do not have any Kedusha at all. But the Mabit argued, and he said, that there is Kedusha Shvius even in things that grow by non-Jews in Israel. Now this dispute goes on even today. The disciples of the Vilna Gaon followed the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Kairo, and therefore the majority of the community in Eretz Yisrael, in particular in Yerushalayim, they were lenient and they said that that which was grown by Goyim does not have any Kedusha to it. However, the Chazon Ish followed the position of the Mabit, and he argued this was also the position of the Rambam in one of his Tshuvas. And he claimed that had the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon seen the Rambam, they never saw that Tshuva, but had they seen this Tshuva from the Rambam, then they would have changed their position, and they would have been strict also like the Mabit, and said that fruit, even if it was grown by non-Jews, has Kedusha to it. What happened eventually is that in Bnei Brak, they followed the position of the Chazon Ish mostly, and they were strict with fruit that was grown by non-Jews, while in Yerushalayim, they followed the lenient approach, like the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, and they argued that such fruit does not have Kedusha to it. Now, one of the biggest controversies in the modern state of Israel was the issue of what's known as the Heter Mechira, which means the leniency of selling, meaning selling the land for the Shemitah year. Now, we need a little bit of background. This has actually started long before the state existed. In the end of the 1800s, when Klal Yisrael began to come back to Eretz Yisrael, so they established numerous agricultural communities. In advance of the Shemitah year in 1889, the settlers were looking for a solution what to do during Shemitah when they would not be allowed to work the land. They argued that there's no way that they could survive with a year of not doing any agricultural work. There was correspondence sent to Lithuania, and they developed what's known as the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira was a leniency to allow them to sell the land to non-Jews for the Shemitah year, and then to purchase it back afterwards. In this way, as long as the land was owned by Goyim, the fruits could be sold, could be eaten. There would be no problem of Kedusha with them. There would be no restrictions on them at all. Now, this was a very, very controversial approach, even from the very beginning. And among those who seemingly approved of it was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the Rav of Kovno. And many of the settlements relied on the Heter Mechira for those early Shemitah years. We're talking about 1889, 1896, 1903. But still, there were many poskim who were very strongly against them, including the Beis HaLevi, the Netziv, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, and many others. Now, all this happened before Rav Kook arrived in Eretz Yisrael. In 1904, Rav Kook arrived. He became the chief rabbi of Yafo, and he defended the Heter Mechira. This is interesting because this is despite the fact that before Rav Kook arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he was in opposition to it. When he arrived, he saw that there is no way for the settlements to survive if they don't make use of the Heter Mechira. Now, one of the main things that Rav Kook was relying on was the fact that, according to most poskim, today Shemitah is not Minatara, it's only Midrabanan, and therefore he applied the principle of Sveka Rabbanan Lakula, that when there's a doubt about rabbinic matters, we could be lenient. Now, the Heter, the way Rav Kook applied it, would only be for those type of agricultural laborers which were not asa minat Torah in the first place. So what he said was that planting and pruning and harvesting would still need to be done by goyim, but the other aspects, which are only rabbinic, he allowed Jews to do it, because now the land, according to him, was no longer owned by Jews. He wrote that it was considered such a shas et chak that even though the heta was somewhat far-fetched, he said, Klal Yisrael needs it to survive. But it was obvious that Rav Kook never intended this to be for the long term. This is only for those early settlement years where there was no way for the Jewish communities to survive without relying on the Heter Mechira. But the Heter Mechira became accepted by the chief rabbinate on an official level when the State of Israel was declared. And since then, every chief rabbinate has defended its use, even though the circumstances today are far different from when they were initiated. While the Heter Mechira was very controversial at its initiation, today it's even more controversial. And there are many poskim who say that it is absolutely meaningless. They say you cannot sell the land to goyim. The sale is a joke. No one takes it seriously. And therefore, it should not be relied on at all. Of course, for practical matters, each person should consult their own Rav to determine what is right for them to do. So the Kitzes Shulchan Aruch proceeds and tells us, what are we not allowed to do with fruits that have Kedusha Shvius? It's mutter to eat them, of course, but there are many other things that may not be done. So he says, Asur la'abdam, it is forbidden to destroy them, which means to eat them is fine. You can't destroy such fruit. And if for some reason no one would be interested in eating them, then you have to leave them to rot until they become totally inedible. As long as the fruit are edible to people or even to animals or birds, there would be a prohibition from against destroying them. However, once they are no longer edible to people or to animals or to birds, now they do not have any Kedusha on them at all. Now there's a machlokis haposkim whether the prohibition against destroying perishvias applies only for food which is a kizayis, or even if it's less than that. Some say, many say, that on any amount of food, even a crumb, there would still be an isser of destroying it. Now, even though there is an isser of destroying such fruit, that's only to do it actively. But to passively leave it so that it will rot by itself, that there's no problem with. There's no requirement to eat up every bit of fruit so that it shouldn't be destroyed. The isser is only to destroy it biyadayim, to actively go out and to do something destructive to it. You certainly do not need to keep such fruit that you don't want to eat in the refrigerator in order that it shouldn't Right. So that when you peel a fruit which has Kedusha Shvius, be careful that no part of the edible fruit remains stuck onto the peel. Now, although it is not necessary to leave such fruit in the refrigerator to preserve them, but to do something which is going to cause them to be damaged, such as to put them out in the sun so they'll rot faster, that would be usher. Now, children should be taught how to treat such fruit with Kedusha Shvius. However, a young child, a baby, who there's no way for him to understand it, you'd still be allowed to give him such fruit, even though it's normal for a baby to destroy the food that he eats. So the Kitzur goes on and says, "V'asur l'shanos es hashima sharogo shelahem." It's forbidden to change the normal use of them, which means whatever is the normal way of eating, you have to eat it in that manner. You can't eat it in some abnormal method. For aser l'sochdan, and it's forbidden to squeeze them for the juice. U'peres misuyamim muta, but in certain fruits muta. Meaning, it depends if it's a normal thing to do. If you have a juice orange, well, it's normal that you're supposed to squeeze it for its juice. But if you have a fruit that is not normal to squeeze for its juice, and you want to do it anyhow, you have to follow what is normal in your society. And to do anything else with fruit with such kedusha would be aser. Al gidulam nosafim ha'omdim la'nos ha'adam, regarding other things that grow that are not intended to be eaten but they're there for the pleasure of people, kigon prochim, such as flowers, ayin beposkim, see the what the poskim write to determine whether or not they have kedusha and how to treat them. Halacha ches. Ein osim behem schora. One may not do business with Shemitah fruits. V'af be'ofanim shemutar l'machram. Even in those situations when it is mutter to sell them, yeshnon hagbalos shonos. There are different limitations. Udmei haperos. And money that was used to purchase Shemitah fruit, kedoshim, kaperos atzmam, they have the sanctity like the fruit themselves, which means that there will be limitation on that which can be done with the money that was used to buy Shemitah fruit. Halacha tes, misha shama sadeo velo hifke perosav, someone who guarded his field, meaning he did not allow people to come in, velo hifke perosav, and he was not mafker his fruit, he did not declare his fruit to be available to anyone, or he worked his field in a prohibited fashion during Shemitah, nechelku haposkim, there's a dispute among the halachic authorities, im nesru perosav, whether his fruit are forbidden to be eaten. Kishakola pri misuya minasadem, when a certain species of fruit is no longer available in the field, chayavim lekayim ba'oso hamin ubedomav mitzvah beer, we would be obligated to do the mitzvah of beer with that type of fruit and with its money. Ketzad mitzvah beer. How does the mitzvah of beer work? Motzias aperas mi beso lushus arabim. A person should take out all of that type of fruit from his house into the public domain. Umafkiram bifnei shlosha anoshim. And he declares it hefker in front of three people. Afilo heim ohavav, even if they are his friends. V'yodeya shelo yisku beperos, and he knows that they will not acquire the fruit. For Omer, and he says, Achino chobes Yisrael, my brothers, the entire Jewish nation, kol mishetzach lito yova v'yito, anyone who wants to take this can come and take this item. Umachziron lebesa, and then he could return the items to his house, then he would be allowed to eat them. Avar v'lo beer, let's say he violated and he did not do beer, nesru haperos, so then the fruit are usher. Kona peros shoyu bidei goy bizman habir, if he acquired fruit that were in the hands of a non-Jew at the time of the beer, yivare miyad, so then he should do beer right away. Until now, we were discussing fruit Halacha Yud Aleph deals with the prohibition of svichin, which he explains, yirakos, any vegetables, shagodlu, afilu meleim, which grew even on their own, v'sadesha Yisrael, in the field of Jews, in Eretz Yisrael, asurom chachamim ba'achila, the Chazal forbade them to be eaten, v'zeh isa svichin, and this is the prohibition known as svichin. Now the issue was as follows. There were people who were growing vegetables during Shemitah, and they claimed that it grew by itself. They said they didn't do anything with it. As a result of that, Chazal forbade all vegetables during Shemitah to be eaten. Now this includes legumes, any types of beans, as well as grain, and any types of vegetables. In fact, any liquid that came out, any juice that came out of svichin would also be forbidden. And if svichin were used for cooking purposes, then any utensil that it touched when it was hot would have to be kashered. And of course, it's forbidden to give svichin even to a child. However, the issur of svichin is that the produce may not be eaten, and no normal benefit may be gotten from it. But an indirect benefit or an abnormal benefit may be permitted. So Chazal deal with svichin very seriously, and it is a very important edict so that the principles of Shemitah would be observed. Now the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim is not discussed over here. It was discussed earlier in Siman Kuf Pei. This brings us to the end of the laws of Shvius in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Of course, this last section was not written by the author of the Kitzur. It was actually written much later. But it was included here in order to give us an overview of some of the halachas of the produce of Eretz Yisrael. We hope that in the merit of our learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on a daily basis, it will bring the Geula Shleima so that we'll be able to observe the laws of Shemitah and the other laws of Eretz Yisrael in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash, in the presence of Malchus Beis David, in the presence of Nevi'im, to the point that the whole world will recognize the Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad.